Well, welcome everyone to the Afterburn Soccer Show. Oh no, we got technical issues, Jose, is that right?
Yeah, my camera is just being weird.
Okay, well, we'll see what we can do with that. Anyway, well, welcome everybody. It's never a live stream without some kind of technical mishap. You know, we're just figuring this out as we go sometimes, but we welcome everybody. I'm Nathan Hill. You can follow me at Nathan J. Hill. And with us frozen as his camera is at the moment is our friend Jose at El Chico Carmona. We'll figure out what, but we can hear you. We can hear you, Jose, even if your camera is frozen.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the eclipse. Maybe the eclipse.
That could be, man.
I don't know. But we're here to talk about FC Dallas, North Texas Soccer Club, Major League Soccer, kind of get caught up over a busy weekend of action for FC Dallas fans. We welcome everybody. We take your comments, your questions live. If you have reactions to the game or things that you saw or things that give you a little bit of hope, because we need some hope, or maybe some things that still have you very, very concerned as this 2024 Major League Soccer season continues to unfold. I like to put a goal highlight or something in our opening credits, but not this time because there wasn't. It was a 0-0 draw as FC Dallas visited St. Louis City and came away with a big road point, especially after four straight losses. To come away with a road point, you always take road points in this league. You take them to the bank. You build your season around them, because they can help you get over some tough results at home. And so this was sort of a stop the bleeding moment for FC Dallas. They looked better than they have in the past four games. Still some things to work on, still some missed opportunities, and still some lucky bounces. So we could take that positive as we at least recognize that we're not talking about those alarm sirens at the moment for this team. So Jose, let's just get started there. I'll play some highlights from the match as we talk about the game. What were the positives that you took away from the match as you saw it?
Well, obviously the positives is getting a point on the road. You can build on that, and it's not pretty. I mean, it's we celebrate like it's a win, but let's face it, we had looked so dreadful that. And knowing that the team is basically playing at half strength, this point is a big sigh of relief. It's okay, you know, we're not on the up and up, but we're at least stopped bleeding, and that's something to build on. And now hopefully, as we start getting bodies back, we start seeing more than just a point.
Well, there was a bit of controversy at the beginning of the match. I mean, as fans looked at the lineup that Nico put out there, and that was no Tafari, instead Omar Gonzalez slotting in. What was your thoughts of that? Of course, it was a coach's decision, and Tafari hasn't been in the best form. Like, clutch save there from Paz, by the way, because and as you say, Paz is back. It's RT.
Yes. So let me talk about that real quick. So. St. Louis is a very direct team, and they've got big physical strikers. So Gonzalez, Omar, he's perfect for this kind of opponent. You know, we all complain about his age and this and that, but the bottom line is, against certain teams, Omar is a very, very serviceable starter. St. Louis is one such team. And so I think this just shows that it's not a wasted signing, which a lot of people were saying, hey, you know, Omar, he's too slow, this and that. But at the end of the day, he's a big physical center back. And if you're going to have a team that's just coming straight at you with not much creativity, then Omar can do the work. So it's a good sign. I don't think, you know, he should start the next match against the next opponent unless it's another team that's going to try to just go direct. But against this opponent, yes, this is the kind of team that Omar can work in. And I don't know what's going on with Tafari, but I'm sure it'll get solved.
Well, and this, you know, they did this before where he had some bad run of play and they benched him maybe just to clear his head, but also to, you know, send a message that, you know, he's going to have to compete like everybody. And you don't just get to, oh, that should have been a goal, but it, you know, almost plenty of chances for both sides in this one, really, to put that go-ahead goal in that both teams would kind of want back. But yeah, plenty of chances for Tofari to show that he's a quality player for this team. But when, especially when the team is struggling, it seems like, you know, you can't afford to keep players who are playing poorly out there. You know, you need to make it clear that other guys are going to get a shot if guys are struggling. And it's just a competitive sport. You can't just rest on what you did before. You're going to have to go out and compete week in and week out. And so just maybe one of those things that will light a fire in Tofari. Maybe he'll come out rested on Saturday. I think Tofari,
we've been asking a lot of him, you know, asking him to become the leader, and having partners next to you that you're constantly having to cover for, constantly having to bark at. It has to be frustrating, and Tofari, this could be good for him. He may just need a mental break, you know. The frustration can build, and hopefully now that he's seen that the team can perform without him out there, he can hopefully reset and be back to his regular self. But, you know, he's a young player still, and like I said, it can be overwhelming to suddenly be the leader on the back line. A back line that's, frankly, been playing subpar, and be the guy that is expected to lead them. It can be very frustrating. So I have no problem with Tofari not having played and a team getting a point out of this. So I think that's another good sign going forward.
And as RT said, we'll throw that up again. Great game from Martin Paz. He's not been at his best, really. I think we can say that. He's missed some saves that he likely would have made, and it looked like he returned to his best self out there. He was just making some incredible saves to keep FC Dallas in this game, and they need him in that form if they're going to get a positive run going, especially against Seattle Sounders, who are starting to wake up.
My take on that, besides the fact that, you know, preseason form and whatnot, is you got to remember that Paz has maybe had to deal with a little bit of distraction with the whole Indonesia national team recruiting him and trying to get him on board and whatnot. And then that fell through as FIFA denied his, you know, his switch. So now he can focus on just the team and not have any distractions. So, I mean, you have to think that it was a bit of a distraction for him. I'm sure he was, you know, excited to do it, but now that it's fallen through, all he can do is focus on his team. And I think you saw a focused player out there on top of his game and the pause that we are frankly used to seeing.
Yeah, good stuff. Let's talk about the missed chances. We saw the one there with Sebastian. We know that Ansah has had an opportunity or two where he continues to play pretty decently. Even though I don't know if we're seeing his ceiling or whatnot, but Dante Sealy with the best chance probably for FC Dallas of the match late on and just couldn't get it down. Should have tapped that one in. Should have absolutely tapped that one in. Offense still isn't there yet, but some positives from this match. I mean, I felt like the team looked a lot more dangerous against St. Louis, a lot more threatening. Musa's hold-up play at times was just some of the best I've seen for an FC Dallas player in a while. And, you know, still some disconnect between midfield and the attack. But overall, felt like the FC Dallas looked dangerous and made life a little interesting for St. Louis. Would you agree with that?
Yes and no. So, yes, I do agree that. But here's the team in St. Louis that was allowing almost two goals a game. So, and mind you, so is FC Dallas. So two teams come into this match allowing almost two goals a game each, And at 0-0, I think they're both unsatisfied that they weren't able to score. Dallas and St. Louis both thought that they would score in this match. And the difference being, honestly, the goalkeepers on both sides really played their butts off. You know, you have to give St. Louis goalkeeper say, hey, he matched Paz, you know, out there. And it wasn't that the team, that Dallas didn't create shots. It's just that he played a really good game and frankly saved St. Louis from dropping points at home. Mm-hmm. Well, also I want to say as Ansa, it's simply they found a position for him. I don't think he's been playing in his best spot, and that can't be said for everybody in the team, you know, with Nico futzing with the formations. But I think they finally found a position where Ansa feels comfortable and his skill set is put to better use, and his weaknesses are not front and center. His strengths are, and it's just showing you that he can be solid, and he's played well enough that he's pushing to be a starter going forward, behind Musa, and maybe the guy that's going to be lined up next to Jesus once he comes back. And if not, he'll at least guarantee himself minutes as long as he keeps playing this way. And you got to feel for the guy that last year we were hard on him, but at the same time, we've seen it time and time again with MLS. Some players just need time to get comfortable, and then you start seeing them thrive in this league. And Ansa could finally be hitting that point of comfort, both with the formation and with being here, you know, in the U.S.
Probably the biggest reality, I mean, the point is so important for FC Dallas, who have been absolutely struggling, but just to lift, to end the run, to lift their spirits back up a bit so that they don't go back home and are still feeling the weight and pressure that to make something happen. And now they can go into this week and say, hey, we had a lot more positives. We can build on this, and we can be a little more in our comfort zone as Seattle Sounders come into town, which is going to be a tough match. It always is with the Sounders, but it's a match that FC Dallas will want to win and get their season back on track. Why do you think this result's going to impact their approach this coming weekend?
Well, it gives the team confidence. And like I said, it looks like the team is starting to find starters at positions. You know, you're looking at Areola may be the new starting wingback. And he's played well there. And Ansa's played well. And Delgado looked really good. And so you're starting to see the possibility that this team is at least, while not healthy, is finding starters that can be effective. And this is a good sign for the team going forward. And it's Seattle, man. I mean, you don't want to go into that match with another loss. So it's just something for the coach to say, look, we're getting it. We're finally starting to piece it together. And it's going to be a very important match. Very, very important. It's Seattle. I don't care how they're playing. 3 points would feel so good and at least stop the panic from some of the fans who the draw didn't stop that. A win against Seattle would go a long way to saying, hey, okay, guys, we're back.
Yeah. I agree. The mood has not been great in the FC Dallas fan base, and season's still young.
Rightly so, by the way.
Yeah, and there's time to build on this, but it was good. It was a relief to get that 0-0 draw. And we always say this for folks who may be new to watching Major League Soccer or soccer generally, unless you're just one of the best teams ever, you know, road points are valuable because you're expected to win most of your home games. So any road points you get can make up for those drops, can really fill in and push you deeper into above playoff, into playoff contention and into a good spot. And so at times FC Dallas have had those seasons where we just road points have been few and far between. And so it's hard. It's just really hard to guarantee postseason contention. And so to get some road points, which I think they're going to want to do to make up for this slow start, it will do, it'll just put a lot of this in the rearview mirror as the season unfolds.
Okay. And I want to say though, that this could also be a start of another run similar to last year where the team was bleeding and suffering and then they started getting draws. So I don't want anyone to get too excited. We could see this team revert to last year's end of season form where they're eking out draws week in and week out. It's not sexy, but with all the injuries, it is what we may have to be happy with until the team, you know, can field a full strength team.
Well, good stuff. So again, FC Dallas goes on the road to St. Louis, finds that 0-0 draw. Jose's camera is frozen. We don't know why. It's the eclipse,
and I'm afraid to mess with it anymore. It's like,
yeah, but we can hear you loud and clear, so that's nice.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, it's telling me it's working fine, which we all know. It's funny.
Well, and turning to FC Dallas's reserve team, North Texas Soccer Club, they had a really interesting match on Saturday. It's actually right before the FC Dallas game. And I kind of love it when those games are like a doubleheader. It just gives me a good block of soccer I can just sort of lock into and enjoy. But
agreed.
North Texas went down a man. Ball that may have been a little considered questionable. Gave up a goal, but then found their way back into the match late. A late goal from Diego Garcia, who just doesn't give up, and they go into, and of course in MLS Next Pro, for those who don't watch, a draw ends at regulation, and then there are penalty kick shootouts for an extra point. So there's a little, it's what's kind of different, but kind of fun too. Interesting way to see these young players kind of step up in difficult moments. And so this was a match at home. It was disappointing to go down a man, go down a goal, and yet they kept fighting. They looked a lot better in the second half, even down a man. Found that late equalizer and then went on to win the penalty kick shootout. And it was a nice penalty kick shootout. It was, for a moment, it looked like Town, which is the San Jose Earthquakes Next Pro team, renamed.
Right, renamed.
They were just one shot from winning it, and Michael Colodi, North Texas's goalkeeper and an FC Dallas Academy alum, just stepped up big. Three straight saves to help his team gain that extra point. So they've now had 5 points from 3 matches, which for a young team with the ups and downs they've had and these new players kind of getting to know each other, not a bad start to this season at all. And especially last season when they couldn't win a penalty kick shootout to save their lives. Two in a row now is a pretty solid start. And so I think they're going to get stronger and more comfortable and confident.
Well, here's the thing, though, is even being down a man, they outplayed their opponents, you know, outshot them, more shots on goal. Mm-hmm. I mean, they simply out-hustled their opponents. And here's the good sign for this team is that last year, this team was known for collapsing. They would take a lead and give it up as quickly as they regained it. And if last year's team would basically was known for giving up late goals and simply be unable to keep their poise or their composure down the stretch. And so other teams knew that they just had to keep pushing hard. And the goal would come. And this year, you're starting to see a young team that is showing itself to be resilient early in the season. And that's great. That's a great confidence builder for such a young team, that to know that, hey, last season's over. Now, if the game's on the line, we need a goal. We're good enough to get that goal late. So it's a good sign. It's It shows that the team is headed in the right direction. And I'm looking forward to seeing how this season plays out.
Yeah, I think definitely things for this team to build upon, and we know they'll have some ups and downs. I like what head coach John Call is bringing to this team. He just really wants them to fight, you know, just to be a team that's known for their passion and for just competing to the very end and bringing it their all. So he was very proud of his team after the match and felt like they're just getting closer and closer to putting that complete performance together and getting that first full 3 points as their season unfolds. So plenty to enjoy there. Yeah. And of course, for FC Dallas fans, one reason you watch Next Pros, you see some guys who may end up getting rotated up. Tariq Scott kind of recovering from a long-term injury. Ahmet Korka got the start. So some guys, like Nolan Norris continues his development. So you're getting to see some of these guys who could be mixed in as the season progresses, as injuries crop up and things like that.
Yeah, Kaladi has always been clutch, so I'm glad that he's been given this opportunity. In all the goalkeepers that this academy's performed, he's kind of like the forgotten man, but he's a quality player, and glad to see him, you know, performing for North Texas. I also want to add, though, one little side note on here is that Isaiah Parker played, and he played as a left wing. Mm. You know, up high in the 4-3-3. So, you know, it could simply be that teams finally said, you know what? He's not becoming that fullback that we want. And so, hey, let's you know, it worked for Endele. They gave up on converting Endele and said, okay, you know, let's let him cook at right wing. And it looks like the team has said the same thing for Parker. It's like, hey, let's give him a chance to see what he can do up top. We certainly need help there from time to time. So,
yeah. I may try to, if I have a chance, I may try to follow up with Coach Gall about that, about kind of his development there and what, you know, but it may just be that they needed somebody there, and or it may just be they want to give him some confidence as well as he kind of
A young player that's having a hard time getting on the field. I mean, he's not starting for North Texas, and that's a red flag, you know, at this level. So I don't know if it's health, confidence, and yeah, I mean, I'm glad that they're putting him in a place that's comfortable for him, that he's used to playing. And I think that's a one way of him regaining his confidence.
Well, shifting back to FC Dallas before we close out the show, one bit of good news is that Jesus Ferreira is expected to be back in practice this week, have a full week of practice and feature him, whether he starts
him and
or not.
Ilara too, right?
And Ilara, yes. Although there was some, and I think Ilara too should be ready to go, but. You know, it'll be interesting to see how for both of those guys, how they, you know, adjust, how they, whether they want to bring him in, kind of work him back in a bit, or whether they give him the go ahead start right away. That'll be interesting to see this weekend.
I'll just be happy to see them both back in the team, and I'm okay with them coming off the bench.
Yeah, good question about Sally being on the bench for the St. Louis game. I don't know yet, but I think, yeah, with Paxton being out, they're obviously going to need some bodies. Maybe when Jesus comes back, that spot will get taken back. But it'll be something interesting to watch as Sally continues sort of get acquainted with the franchise as well. And they're really clear that Sally was not this guy, even though they spent money on him and he seems like a strong prospect. Like, they're not going to rush him in and, you know, put him at risk in any sort of way. They're going to really bring him along and give him the time he needs to develop. So I just don't know what his role is going to be this season. And maybe, you know, by the end of the season, he will be starting to feature even as a sub, but it may be that they see him as a next year, as a guy that they're going to this season and develop for coming year or two. So that was interesting about his signing was that they were going to be really patient with him. So it's something for us to watch. But seeing him get on the bench is good stuff.
My take on Solly, and I know a lot of people are like, hey, we spent all this money on this kid. We're not seeing him, this and that. My understanding was that he was always going to be a developmental player. And honestly, from my opinion, they're taking a page out of what Charlotte did last year. Charlotte went out and got a stud. You know, they spent several million on this kid, and they basically put him on their MLS Next Pro team. And left him there all year. I mean, we're talking, he was like the most expensive signing on MLS Next Pro. And this kid was stashed on the reserve team all year. And now this year, he's been bumped up to senior team. And honestly, that's what's happening with Sully. And he's frankly, he's here to be the future replacement for Velasco, not the immediate replacement. And I have no problem with them taking their time with this kid.
Yeah, well, that would be good to see. I mean, I think they built this roster to have those options. Because we don't even know what Velasco seems to be coming along well in his recovery, but it's not at least till the summer that we might even begin to get to see him. So I don't know. You know, yeah. So it gives this team options, and I wonder too if some of this isn't Nico sending that message to his players, especially his veteran players, that like, hey, I got young guys who are dying for an opportunity,
who are hungry,
yeah,
and have talent.
So, you know, you got to push yourself and have my options to bring some guys off the bench to give that spark. So exciting. Exciting times for FC Dallas. Well, maybe I'm being a little too optimistic there. It's better. This week is a lot better for FC Dallas fans with that away point. We'll see how things unfold this weekend as Seattle Sounders.
I am curious, though, if Sully will – if he's someone that could play in Dante Sealy's spot, because let's face it, we're all starting to get a little frustrated with Dante, and I have a feeling that Salih is a player that could earn minutes at that position.
Okay, that's interesting. Well, yeah, that's all. Yeah, that's the whole other question, and I think I just wonder if maybe Dante is really balling out in practice, and it's just that in the game up against guys who are scouting him and are more seasoned, that he's struggling a bit, which is going to happen to young players in a new position. So maybe we're due for a game.
Yeah, what I'm getting at,
you know,
what I'm getting at is he needs competition. He needs to not go into games thinking it's my spot and I can't lose it.
Sure.
Because there's nobody behind me. So it would be nice to see him get pushed, somebody else be given a shot. And like I said, it maybe Sully or maybe you're a far fan. I mean, who knows? But I think a young player like that, it's okay with him being sat down for a bench for a week to observe from the bench and reassess what's going on. So I would like to see somebody else given a shot there and see they given a break. I'm not saying I don't want him as a starter. I'm just saying he's a young player. He's inconsistent. He shouldn't be a guaranteed starter week in and week out.
Well, okay. I think we're going to wrap up the show there. We congratulate Martin Paz for being named to the team of the week. We appreciate RT, all your comments and your insights there you share with us. And for other folks watching and subscribing, whether you listen to the audio on your podcast platform of choice or you go directly to our Substack site, afterburn.soccer. We're thankful for you and hope you stayed safe during the eclipse. You didn't go crazy and stare at the sun like what Jose did with this camera. I guess he pointed his webcam at the sun. Who knows? But Jose, thank you for being on, for sharing your wisdom.
Thank you for having me, everybody. I will now return to spreading democracy.
Yeah. All right. Bye, guys. Good night.
Good night.